Find out how your life story is interwoven with the life of Christ in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Life in Christ at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. Find out how your life story is interwoven with the life of Christ in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Life in Christ at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. Casting visions was once the purview of the relatively few in evangelicalism. Those who claim to have visions on a regular basis, visions for their church or visions for their ministry. Well, it used to be just the big name pastors in the big box churches. But now in evangelicalism, everyone can have a vision. In fact, that's a new message. The memo has gone out. Everyone should be having visions. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Friday, July the 7th. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, evangelicalism's teaching on visions. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
There are visions all over Holy Scripture. What is your beef with visions?
I would actually take opposition. Visions are not all over Scripture. That's not exactly a fair characterization. They do appear from time to time in Scripture. But you'll note that I don't have an opposition to God giving somebody a vision. The point is that in evangelicalism, it is a cornerstone belief of theirs that every single Christian is going to receive, if they seek it, almost like a prophetic vision, not only for their life, but for different aspects of their life, like their family, their job, or things like this. And that this is normative, that this is somehow a normal part of the Christian life, and apparently you're doing it wrong or you're not spirit-filled if you do not have a prophetic vision from God for different bits and pieces of your life and how to live them and what God's goals and plans are for you.
So what do they mean when they say a vision beyond, as you said, semi-prophetic?
So when they talk about dreams and visions today, I've noticed that there's been a shift in how they discuss things. If you remember back a decade ago, the evangelicals were talking a lot about learning your purpose in life. And so they believed in discovering or God whispering your purpose into your heart and giving you some kind of a revelation regarding what your purpose is. That turned into something more vague. And so the preaching shifted from purpose finding preaching to learning your dream destiny. And that kind of got soundly rebuked by a lot of people. And so now they've shifted even into something that's a little more vague, but this concept regarding vision. It's all kind of the same doctrine. It's just that their emphasis and how they talk about it nowadays is becoming less and less clear. And they're cloaking it by taking verses out of context and then making it sound like dreams and visions are supposed to be a normal part of the Christian life.
Who are we going to hear from first?
First soundbite is from Judah Smith. Judah Smith, very well-known megachurch pastor. He pastors several congregations, one in Seattle and then another down in Hollywood. And this is the man that Justin Bieber considers to be his pastor. And we're going to be listening to a portion of a sermon that is titled, How to Know Whether a Vision is from God. And we're going to hear one of the first kind of major doctrines as it relates to evangelicalism's idea regarding visions. And that has to do with the difficulty of the vision and accomplishing it being the sure sign that it is actually from God.
Have you ever had anybody ever tell you, hey, if you don't have any expectations, you'll never be disappointed. You just got too many. That's just false expectation. That's just disappointment because somebody didn't meet your expectations. So the key to life is just don't have an expector. Just get rid of your expector. So what kind of life is that? Now we all live in lives like buckets with planned holes. Talking about, yeah, I got water, not for long. I mean, what is life without dreaming? What is life without expectation? What is life without believing? What is it? Now, for those of us that are Jesus followers and those of us that love Jesus and love the scripture and love the story and want to live, love, and look like him, we're a part of Social Dallas, I want to tell you something. You need to understand that God uses the language of visions and dreams, but his visions are from victory, from the finished work, not for victory or for the finished work. Now, as the United States of America, as a USA character, our dreams and visions in our culture are taught us you've got to dream about something you don't have so that when you get it, you'll be happy and fulfilled. I'm not against that, but I am not interested in discussing that dimension of dreaming and vision. I have no interest in that today. Now, if you want to dream about your business, you want to have visions, I'm going to be the first pastor in line with Pastor Robert and Taylor. I'm going to tell you right now, we are going to pray for your business. We're going to pray for your merch. We're going to pray for your sales. We're going to pray for your, that you get an increase in your salary. I am down for all of that. But the primary way God uses visions and dreams in the language of scripture is from victory, and the sign that your vision and dream is from God is it's too much for you, and when you're done with it, it makes much of God and not of you. That's how you'll know this one might be from God. Why? Because I can't do it. And when I do it, everybody will know who did it.
Okay, what were we hearing there? What was he saying?
So over and again, when you teach this idea that receiving an almost prophetic-like vision from God for different goals or your purpose or things like this, people are going to ask the question, how will I know whether or not this vision, this dream that I believe that I have from God is really truly from God? And so one of the slogans that they've given, and Judah Smith, you know, just basically spoke it very accurately the way it's commonly spoken, is that they'll say, if the dream or vision that you have is too difficult for you to accomplish, then that's a sure indicator that it's from God. So if God were to give you a vision, Todd, and you're not certain as to whether or not this is from God or if it's just a piece of undigested anchovy pizza from the night before that's speaking to you in a fever dream, the question is, well, tell us the details of the vision. And you'd say, well, I had a vision that God is going to use me to bring the conflict in Ukraine to a conclusion peacefully. People would say, well, that's way too big for you, Todd. So that's probably a vision from God. And so that's the big indicator, the big benchmark as to how you can tell a vision or a dream is from God is whether or not it's too difficult for the person to legitimately accomplish it. And when that's the case, then you're most likely dealing with an actual vision from God. And then it becomes something worth pursuing and being willing to suffer for and pour yourself into. And that's a common way in which people talk about dreams and visions for their lives that they believe that God is supposed to give them in evangelicalism.
So to put it in a nutshell, it must be from God if it's something that seems impossible.
That's, yeah, the more impossible, the more probable it is that it's coming from God. If it's God saying, well, my dream and vision for you is to do the good works that you were created in Christ Jesus to do, you know, being a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, an excellent employee, or a charitable and good and kind employer, they would say, well, that's really probably not from God because anybody could do that. And in fact, I remember years ago, I had traveled to Georgia to attend a purpose-driven church planting conference. I was doing research on a couple of different people. In fact, this was the first conference I actually physically met and shook hands with Stephen Furtick. And several of the guys that were putting on the conference asked if they can take me to lunch because they knew I was a critic of their beliefs. And we were discussing this very thing. And I told them, I said, this idea that you have to have a vision from God and that, you know, and that you can tell that this from God is because of the difficulty or the impossibility of it. I said, this contradicts scripture. And I said, our good works are done in our vocations. And then I was basically quoting Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and then also chapter 5, and basically saying, these are the things that God has called us to. And this is the vision that God has cast for our life. I had taken their language and kind of hijacked it. And one of these church planting, purpose-driven church planters looked at me and he says, that can't possibly be correct because anybody can do those things, including people who are not believers. And I said, then how do you explain that that is what is taught in Scripture, that we are created in Christ Jesus not to fulfill a dream or a vision or a purpose? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then Ephesians goes on to explain what they are. He wasn't able to give a satisfactory answer, and it was actually one of the most memorable parts of that particular conversation.
Who's up next?
So we're going to head on down to San Diego and listen to Jürgen Mathesius from Awakened Church. And this is another idea then within evangelicalism as it relates to their doctrines regarding vision, is that when you truly have a vision from God, then what you should expect, because, I mean, this happened to Joseph after all, is that you should expect opposition.
We want to create vision builders in this house. To be a vision builder, you've got to carry. When we came to San Diego, the vision was easy. Getting a vision is not that difficult. Establishing that vision is warfare. Establishing that vision is the battle. It was easy. It was a moment with God. It was a moment with my guitar and worship, where I saw the baseball diamond. It was a moment with God where I saw fresh, real power. It was a moment with God where I saw congregations and people lifting their hands and worship and altars full and young people coming to Christ and the city being changed. That was easy. But it was when I took that vision and then began to share it with people that people began to tell me just how ridiculous that was. How I was probably eating some jalapeno pizza, which I probably was, and they were trying to attribute that to that and saying, why don't you just need to lower the bar. You're not going to have buildings. You're not going to have congregate. Like, this is San Diego. It's a preacher's graveyard. There's never been a spirit-filled church over a certain number, and they were giving me all the negativity. Joseph twice had visions and dreams from God about his future. But as soon as he shared them with, you would think, with his siblings, with his brothers, as soon as he shared them, they went into attack mode. It's one thing to receive a vision. So I want you to understand that I am setting you up for a little bit of persecution. And I don't apologize for it, because I'm telling you, in this place, we're going to encourage you. We're going to brother you. We're going to lock arms with you. We're going to teach you how to engage, because you're better off living with vision than allow the pecking order to make you as blind as everybody else. You're meant to live with vision. You're meant to live with vision. But once you get that vision, all the negativity and the hopelessness and the fear and the naysaying and the slander and the betrayal of the world is sent against you. Satan hates people living with the God vision, because he knows that every God vision will create something in the earth that reflects heaven.
All right, Chris, sounds like, you know, we often say there's a kernel of truth in this. Christians are to expect the opposition of the world. They are to expect the opposition of Satan himself. But he says it's because they're casting visions. Is that what Scripture says?
No, not at all. So we are to expect persecution for our confession that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and he is the one who is God in human flesh, who suffered and bled and died for all of our sins, and that there is salvation in no one else except for him. That is what we are to expect persecution for, is our faith and trust in Christ. And you'll note then that what happens is in these churches that buy into this false doctrine regarding vision is that they expect persecution as a result of the dream or vision that they believe that they have received from God. So if God has called me to be the next governor of the state of North Dakota, as soon as I reveal that this God-given vision, the thing I should expect is that people are going to oppose the vision. I should expect persecution as a result of it. And that persecution then serves as a second layer of validation regarding whether or not that's actually from God. And so the first layer of validation is whether or not it's too difficult for somebody to accomplish on their own strength. And then the second layer of validation then has to do with persecution. Are people opposed to? And you're going to note what they're doing is that they're looking to the story of Joseph, which is an exceptional, and I mean exceptional story, that legitimately is a type and shadow of the life of Jesus Christ. Joseph was a dreamer who was sent to Egypt. At Jesus's earthly father, not biological father, Joseph also had a dream and took his son to Egypt. The parallels between Joseph and Jesus are like ridiculous. They're fantastic and great. And the whole point is that Joseph's story points us to Christ. Their emphasis is on the wrong thing. Their emphasis is on the dreams. And so they basically take Joseph's life and lay it over yours as a template that you should expect that same kind of persecution. But in reality, they've got you focusing on the wrong thing and trusting in God for the wrong thing, rather than trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. Now you're trusting in Jesus for this nebulous vision that he's supposed to give you, which you're not even sure is from him. And so you need different layers of validation, and now we've got two. But this is not what the Bible teaches at all. This is a very narcissistic way of reading Scripture as well.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about evangelicalism's teaching on visions. On the other side of the break, more from Jürgen Mathesius on writing your vision.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our adventure in Acts with Saul Preaches Jesus, Saul in Jerusalem and the healing of Aeneas, Dorcas restored to life, Cornelius's vision, and finally, Peter's vision. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
You and your youth group are invited to the 2023 Higher Things Youth Conference, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas, from July 25th through the 28th. Come hear pastors Brian Wolfmuller and Chris Roseborough teach the youth of our church about doubt and apologetics, and give them the assurance that their faith is beyond reasonable doubt. Remaining space is limited. Register now and find more information at higherthings.org.
Is your child struggling at school? Are you thinking about homeschooling? Would you like help knowing what to teach and how to teach it? The Simply Classical curriculum from Memoria Press provides an enriching, step-by-step classical Christian education for students who have autism, learning or behavioral difficulties, ADHD, and more. You'll find everything you need, including daily lesson plans to guide your way. Learn more at simplyclassical.com. Use LPR23 to save on your order. Simplyclassical.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University, Chicago.
Indeed, the quest for truth is at the core of a university's purpose. The liberal arts, illuminated by the revealed truths of Scripture, are powerful for equipping students for a life of self-governance. A disciple is one who follows the master. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? He said that it means to take up one's cross. The cross is thus the symbol of dying for others, of dying to self for the sake of serving others. And a life of service is a life well lived.
Truth, freedom, vocation. Concordia University, Chicago. CUChicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about evangelicalism's teaching on visions. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. Chris, what's up next?
So now we're going to hear kind of a classic twisting of Scripture from the book of Habakkuk. And once you receive a vision from God, or visions, because God is supposedly in the business of handing out multiple visions for different aspects of your life, that the thing you're going to need to do is apparently write down this vision, and we'll listen to Jurgen explain why.
You should have a dream for your marriage. You should have a dream for your family. You should have a dream for your finances. You should have a dream for the home that you live in. You should have a dream for the kind of life. You should have a dream for your ministry. You should have a dream for the way you're going to serve God. Get a dream for your life. This should be the house of dreams. This should be the place where people have the permission to dream. Number two is you got to write down what you've received on the mountaintop. Habakkuk 2:2-3 says this. It says, write the vision. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And then it goes on and says, you know, though it tarry, don't let you. There's always a battle for it. It will surely come to pass. It will not fail. It will surely come. You were created to live with vision, but I'm telling you, it's very, very easy to forget in the dark what you heard in the light. And don't beat yourself up, because the man that Jesus says, of all the prophets that have arisen, there's none greater than John the Baptist. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Jesus elevated his cousin John the Baptist to one of the greatest prophets of all time. But it was this John the Baptist, when he was sitting in a cell days before he was to be beheaded, was like, man, did I miss it? And he sends two of his disciples to Jesus. Just a couple of years earlier, John baptizes Jesus, says, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandal straps. It was John the Baptist's appointment, says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And now he's sitting in a prison cell moments away from being beheaded, and he sends two of his disciples with a question, and they come to Jesus and they say, John wants to know, are you the coming one, or should we look for another? John the Baptist was almost forgetting in the dark what he heard in the light. I like Charles Fuller. He's got a journal. Can I tell you? Write the vision. Put it on your fridge. Get it framed. Get it. Calligraphy, is that right? Get it. Get someone to. But have a vision. Have a vision for your home. Have a vision for your family.
So, Chris, I got to wonder, how is that any different than the kind of stuff you used to hear on Oprah Winfrey, where she would have a vision board and they would draw pictures and write out what they wanted the universe to give them? And if they concentrated on it hard enough or hung it over their bed, the universe would bring it all to pass.
The only functional difference between what Oprah promoted and what this guy is promoting is that Oprah will talk about the universe giving it to you using the law of attraction, whereas Juergen is basically claiming not some nebulous force in the universe, but is claiming that the Holy Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the one who is going to give you this vision. So it goes from more of an Oprah's more kind of a esoteric Gnostic in her beliefs in that sense, whereas Juergen is taking esoteric and Gnostic concepts and ascribing them to the Trinitarian God. And so that's where the difference lies.
I wonder what happens when people take his advice, write out their vision, get someone to do it in calligraphy, put it on the refrigerator, and the vision doesn't come to pass.
This usually creates a crisis of faith for the person who engages in believes that these doctrines are real, because they're counting on these things to happen when in reality God is not required to make any of this stuff happen because he's not the one who gave him the vision. And I would note that Juergen twisted Habakkuk chapter 2. Let me explain what's going on from the context in Habakkuk. If we go back into Habakkuk chapter 1, you'll note that there's a little bit of a dialogue going on between the prophet Habakkuk as well with Yahweh. And Habakkuk is complaining to God about, why are you taking so long, God, to get rid of the evil that is in front of my eyes and the evil that we are being made to experience? And so if we back up into chapter 1, starting at verse 13, Habakkuk says of God, he says, "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why? Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? So I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower, and I will look out to see what will he say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint." So Habakkuk is expecting God to explain himself. Why are you not dealing with evil? And so Habakkuk 2:2 says, "And Yahweh answered me." So write the vision. And the vision he's talking about is the actual prophetic vision that gets written down in the book of Habakkuk. Make it plain, write it on tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up, is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. So what God is saying is to Habakkuk, write down this prophetic vision that he has given him, and he does. We have it in the book of Habakkuk in the Bible. But he also wants him to write it on tablets so that those who read his vision would recognize that God is eventually and soon going to be acting in wrath against these evildoers that Habakkuk is complaining about. And so he's saying to write it down so that those who read it would run for their lives. That's kind of the point that he's making. Whereas you'll note that men like Juergen Mathesius and others within evangelicalism, and even Oprah Winfrey in creating her vision boards, and I would note also notably Terry Savelle Foy, the daughter of Jerry Savelle, they teach these concepts too. They're constantly twist Habakkuk 2 and basically say, so when God gives you a vision, make sure to write it down, put it in calligraphy, make it in front of you, so put it on your vision board. But that's not the point of this text at all. It's a complete twisting of this text to basically say, well, Habakkuk 2:2 says write down the vision, so when God gives you one, make sure that you write yours down. That's not the point of this text at all.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today, Evangelicalism's Doctrines Regarding Visions. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. On the other side, we'll take up the phrase, faith comes by hearing. Find out how your life story is interwoven with the life of Christ in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about life in Christ at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Folks, we're about 3 months away from the 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference. This year's conference is October 11th through the 13th in Cincinnati and includes visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. For more information, visit lutheransforlife.org, lutheransforlife.org. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about evangelicalism's doctrines on visions. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. In about 10 minutes, we'll continue our retrospective on the battle for the Bible in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking with Pastor Roy Askins about how the battle for the Bible affected the missions department of the LCMS. Chris, what's our final cut from Jürgen Mathesius?
Yes. So the next part of this is not a tidy tying up of loose ends or a point three, but what kind of happens here is that when people teach these doctrines regarding visions, you kind of have to find a way to button it all up and talk about, well, where does the power come from? How does one activate these visions so that they occur? And Jürgen Mathesius is going to do something very notable here, and that is he's going to twist Romans 10 verse 17 and try to apply it in the context of these personal visions and dreams that God is supposed to give you. We'll take a look at it afterwards.
You know, a lot of people, they don't live with vision because they think, oh, what if it doesn't come to pass? Then I'll have to deal with disappointment. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit doesn't just give a vision. Jesus says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That power is activated by faith. Did you know that? The power of God is activated by faith. So the same Holy Spirit that gives vision is the same Holy Spirit that gives the power to get the vision. And how do you activate that power? Is through faith. How do we get faith? Man, you're asking all the right questions. The Bible says, Romans 10 verse 9 says that faith cometh by hearing. Sorry, Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whenever you're in this house, you better believe we preach faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. You're going to leave with faith. You're going to leave with hope, and you're going to leave with your love tank filled. Faith, hope, and love, because we want you to walk with faith, because you're going to unlock power, because you're living with vision, because you're a vision builder. Amen. Amen. Oh, man.
All right. So what did he do with that Romans passage?
Completely evacuated of its actual meaning from its context, and tried to make it sound like, okay, well, you got to live your life with dreams and visions, and then you activate those dreams and visions by faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he thinks that he's talking about, this text is somehow referring to the vision that God gives you, and then you hearing that, and then faith activating the vision. It's almost like a theological circle, you know, that he's arguing in. But that's not the point of Romans 10, 17 at all. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans 10 legitimately asked the question after pointing out that everyone who believes in Christ will not be put to shame, and that all who call in the name of the Lord will be saved. That's verse 13. So he's noting that every single human being who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and the salvation referred to is the actual salvation that we all are in need of. Salvation from hell, God's wrath, salvation from our sins, salvation from slavery to sin, death, and the devil, all of them. And so everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And then Paul in Romans 10, 14 says, well, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so what the Apostle Paul is arguing for here is not faith, activating faith for the purpose of seeing a dream or vision come to pass in your life. He's talking about hearing the gospel, the good news that Christ has bled and died for our sins and risen bodily from the grave on the third day. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, so that people would call on the name of the Lord, cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness, and that they would receive the promises that all who call on him will not be put to shame, and that they will be saved. This is talking about evangelism. This is talking about salvation coming to human beings. But Jurgen here, in that very brief soundbite, completely evacuated this text of its actual meaning and hijacked it and tried to smuggle it in as a text that has to do with faith activations for making your dreams and visions come true that you're supposed to be receiving from God. Very sneaky, very deceptive, but still very wrong.
What is the proper understanding of a vision in Scripture, and what do we do with all these things when someone says, I got a vision from God?
Yeah, when somebody says they have a vision from God, I think normal procedure nowadays should be either to discount them or see if you can have the person committed. God does not promise us visions in this sense. And so throughout the Scriptures, you'll note that notable but few people have received real prophetic visions from God, and a large portion of them have been written down and have become the Scriptures. Revelation says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, or the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and that ultimately these dreams and visions that God has given are for the purpose of confirming his word, of prophesying of Jesus Christ and pointing to him, calling sinners to repentance. If you really want to know what prophetic visions are really all about, spend some time in the Old Testament prophets. Read Jeremiah, read Isaiah, read the 12, read the minor prophets, read Amos and Hosea and Habakkuk and Zephaniah. Read them. Those will give you a great feeling for what God's visions are for people. And you'll note that we as Christians are not called to all receiving these types of prophetic visions, but we do all have prophetic visions that we are called to proclaim, and those are the ones written in Scripture. I always like to say at Kongsvinger, the prophets and the apostles and Christ speak to us directly every single Sunday, but they do it by me reading out the biblical text that God has given us. And so the prophetic vision that I have to proclaim to people at Kongsvinger, it's all found in the Scriptures. And the nice thing about those prophetic visions is that you can read along with me. And that's really the point of the visions that we're supposed to have, the ones that tell us really what the voice of God has told us, what he commands us to do, assures us of what he's done for us, so that we can have confidence that we are forgiven of our great and many sins.
How do these promoters of visions, how do they point their listeners away from Christ?
So they point people away from Christ very subtly. And it begins with really having them no longer looking at the Scriptures and understanding them correctly and hearing the voice of God spoken to us in the Scriptures. I mean, all Scripture is God-breathed. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. But instead, they subtly turn people to a different source. And that different source is the internal voice of God that they believe that Christians are supposed to be listening to and listening for. And so a good way to put it is that they've become enthusiasts. Read Luther on enthusiasts in the Small Called articles. Luther makes a great point that the serpent in the Garden of Eden turned Adam and Eve from listening to the voice of God, which is extranos, outside of themselves, to listening to a voice of God that they thought was inside of themselves. When you look at the account in Genesis chapter 3, after the serpent tempts Eve, she looks at the fruit and sees that it is beautiful and delightful and is desirous to make one wise. And she's completely gone internal rather than listening to the external word of God, which her husband had given her to not eat of that tree. She's now gone completely internal and is trusting in her feelings. And so you'll note that when pastors teach these types of false doctrines, they point us away from Christ first and foremost by cutting us off from the voice of Christ in the Scriptures and teach us that that internal voice that we're supposedly hearing, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the voice that God wants us to be listening to. And most likely, it's just your own feelings and emotions, or at worst, it can actually be the demonic and the satanic tempting you with false beliefs and false doctrines. And this is why the original sin that Luther points out in the Small Called articles is that the Satan turned our first parents into enthusiasts, listening to the voice of God within rather than from outside of themselves.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Learn more about Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's part three of our retrospective on the Lutheran battle for the Bible. Pastor Roy Askins, author of the chapter in that new book, Rediscovering the Issues Surrounding the 1974 Concordia Seminary Walkout, will be our guest. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Learn and grow with us at Redeemer Lutheran Church, 7670 East Jomax Road, Scottsdale, Arizona. The gifts of Christ are received every Lord's Day in the 9 a.m. Divine Service. Confessional, evangelical, sacramental, liturgical. Lutheranism the way it used to be. Lutheranism the way it can be once again. If you're in Scottsdale or in the Phoenix metro region, we'd love to have you visit. And please also visit our website, RedeemerScottsdale.org.
You wish your classical school could do more for struggling learners, uncertain where to begin? The Memoria Press Schools Division includes Cheryl Swope, author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child. The Schools Division will happily assist your school. Memoria Press offers an entire line of special needs resources for teaching math, reading, spelling, and more. Contact schools at memoriapress.com or order directly from simplyclassical.com with coupon code LPR23.